It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 8 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
Springville police have their hands full this week investigating two murders in just a few days.
KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe is live with the latest. Amy?
Amanda, it's been a tough week for Springville police, according to Chief Lance Haight.
It is difficult for them, so they rely on support from the community and from their families.
Chief Haight tells KSL-TV that some of their officers have seen more homicides this week than they have in their whole careers. Police found a man shot dead on his front porch in town on Saturday. They say a man matching the suspect's description then later walked into the station saying he had information about the homicide. And arrest records show 25-year-old Hunter Lamoureux later admitted that he was upset with the man because of a custody dispute and a pending divorce between the man and his wife. This after what police are calling a possible murder-suicide earlier in the week that left one 20-year-old young man dead and his ex-girlfriend, 17-year-old Lily Conroy, in the hospital. She's still there on life support this morning while her family looks to donate her organs. Reporting live, Amy Kobabe at KSL News Radio.
Springville Mayor Matt Packard, meantime, says they're just not used to crimes like this in their small city.
While you may hear about those kinds of things in larger cities, it's just very uncharacteristic of Springville.
Mayor Packard says their community is rallying together to support the impacted families.
Firewatch on KSL News Radio.
Firefighters in Wasatch County are working to stop a wildfire that's already burned more than 85 acres north of Heber City. KSL TV spoke with Mike Erickson from the Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands on how early fires usually start.
Wasatch County usually doesn't see fires like this until July and August. Quite honestly, I can only think of a couple times where we've had a fire get over 2 or 3 acres in May. There's definitely a potential for a really bad fire season this year.
Mike says they believe this fire is human-caused, but they're still investigating exactly what started it.
KSL's top national stories this hour. President Biden is meeting with Indo-Pacific leaders in Tokyo this morning, and the economy is a major focus.
Biden launching an Indo-Pacific economic plan involving 12 countries, the focus on trade and how to prevent those supply chain issues that we've seen recently. The message, though, to this region is that the U.S. is dedicated to uniting its friends and allies here, and that message will also be brought to Quad Nation leaders tomorrow. Meanwhile, Biden was asked today about the possibility of a recession in the U.S., the president giving an emphatic no, but acknowledging that the price of gas is a real problem for many families back home. Britt Klenet, ABC News, Tokyo.
A cluster of hospitalizations is now tied to the nationwide shortage of baby formula as overseas shipments begin arriving in the U.S.
ABC News has learned at least 4 infants in South Carolina were recently hospitalized, 3 of them admitted when their parents were forced to use alternatives to their normal formula, and their babies couldn't tolerate the switch.
ABC's M. Nguyen reporting.
Pfizer says it's ready to submit its vaccine data for children ages 6 months to 5 years old to the FDA.
It would be a 3-dose regimen following the disappointing results of Pfizer's trials with 2 doses. Each shot will be 1/10 of the adult dose. The company saying the vaccine was 80% effective against symptomatic Omicron COVID among the more than 1,600 children in the trials.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos says Moderna previously submitted approval for their COVID vaccine for young children, and they're still waiting an FDA decision.
The invasion of Ukraine.
Russia is intensifying its attacks in eastern Ukraine as President Volodymyr Zelensky calls for even more powerful weapons to counter the Russian invasion.
Poland's President Andrzej Duda, the first international leader to address Ukraine's parliament in person, getting a standing ovation, embracing Zelensky. Duda facing down Putin, saying only Ukraine has the right to decide on its future.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Kyiv and says President Zelensky says between 50 and 100 of their soldiers die every day on the battlefield.
First look traffic, we go back over to Andy Farnsworth.
And Tim, we've got slowdowns on I-15 now as you go through Midvale into Murray. You've got some southbound delays on I-15 around the Kaysville exit. These are our first slowdowns on the freeway this morning. Still starting to get worse on 2100 North Lehigh, crossing over from Redwood to I-15. Bangor and Mountain View corridor are seeing some delays, although Bangor might have a crash around 2700 South near the USANA building, because I'm seeing extra delay through West Valley and breaks up right there. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 8:05.
Utah's morning news has inside sources.
President Biden is on a trip through Asia, visiting with international leaders. What has his message been throughout the trip?
Joining us live in studio, the host of Inside Sources, Boyd Matheson. One of those messages being walked back this morning by the White House about the U.S. intervening militarily in Taiwan.
Yes, and the president went to South Korea and to Japan really with an economic message and focusing on cooperation and the connection between the United States and those two countries. And I think he actually did a very effective job in terms of laying that kind of policy out. There's a new trade agreement that will be announced with 12 of the Indo-Pacific nations. So that's all very positive economic connections. And then China, that steps in. And, of course, the administration's had to walk that back a little bit. And I think what we have to really look at is this idea, this concept that we're functioning under with China goes all the way back to Jimmy Carter, in that we're just kind of status quo is okay. And I think what the president is really hinting at is that the status quo has changed. President Xi of China has said that the Taiwan situation will be resolved peacefully or forcibly, but it will be resolved. And so it's very clear that President Xi has an agenda as it relates to Taiwan. And so I think while the administration is quickly walking that back in terms of no change in policy, I think the status quo has changed, and I think that's really important for us to consider and look at as we watch this thing continue to play out. Very complicated, very complex, and there's a lot more to come in terms of that discussion.
This multilateral agreement with all of the Asian countries, that's a positive thing, isn't it?
Very positive, absolutely, especially in light of the economics that we're dealing with here at home. I thought President Biden was also very honest and straightforward in saying, yes, we have major inflation challenges and things at home. Unemployment obviously is down, and that's a good thing. And then he touted the connection between South Korea. South Korea manufacturers looking at building some plants. Hyundai in Georgia, 8,000 jobs. So there was a lot of positive economic news on that. I think it's important to keep that in perspective. The president, this is where you really start to see a president having to be able to really manage multiple things coming in. He has election issues going on. He's got economic issues. He has international issues. We haven't even talked about Ukraine yet and all of that. So it is getting very complicated. The issues are really piling up. And this is the test for the administration. How rapidly can they take in information on each of those things, prioritize them, get a strategy, and then communicate that powerfully out to the American people, to our allies, and to our adversaries around the world?
Boyd's going to be checking in with his Inside Sources this afternoon, 1 to 3 o'clock each weekday on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.